Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to another edition of The Drift. Joining me in the studio, Brandon Drake.
It is a pleasure to be here. It's beautiful outside, and it's beautiful to be inside.
Yeah, so it's a pleasure having you, and thank you, Derek, for producing us once again.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, lots to cover today, but as always, at The Daily Drift, we cover stories that you don't get in the mainstream media, and on Saturdays here at The Drift, we cover those and hopefully solicit your opinions. 734-822-1600, you are welcome to call in, even if it's a different subject than what we're covering. It's your show as well as ours. Let's take care of some business first. The sponsor this half hour is Family Aging and Law Center, a family estate planning and elder law firm. Nicole Whipp is a VA-accredited attorney who specializes in asset protection, elder law, and complete estate planning. They do some really cool workshops, and this next Wednesday, October 16th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at the White Pine Rehabilitation and Care Center in Howell, they're doing a special needs law awareness fair. Now, these are really cool, and it's free. Now, how can you beat free, right?
You can't.
So, you know, if you're retired or a senior citizen or maybe a veteran and you have time, get out to the Pine Rehabilitation Center in Howell from 1 to 3 p.m. You can reach Pam or Nicole at 248-278-1511. That's 248-278-1511. Great people to deal with, very friendly, nice office up there in Milford. So everything from Medicaid pre-planning and crisis planning to asset protection trusts. So give them a call, 248-278-1511. Or you can go online, www.miestatelawyer.com.
And you know what, Gary, one of the greatest things a parent can do or a grandparent can do for their children or grandchildren is to do that estate planning, because I have heard so often from friends that they just go through a nightmare, you know, not only the emotional stress, of course, when a parent dies, but months and maybe years before the estate is worked out and the lawyers make this money and the state makes the money.
Right.
That's all unnecessary if you take some simple steps ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah. Just having a will isn't enough. You really have to do some estate planning. So contact the professionals at Family and Aging Law Center.
Yeah, a will guarantees probate, and that's a nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, well, let's move on today to some of the things that we've been covering during the week at thedailydrift.com.
There's really no news during the week. It didn't really, nothing's happening.
Well, it's still all about the shutdown.
Right.
And
the debt ceiling.
And the debt ceiling. And, of course, Obama kind of tried to, again, you know what irritates me is that the media keeps blaming the GOP, and they'll keep spouting these same polls. The GOP is at fault. Their rating is now at 20% or less. Well, Obama's is down at 37%. Well, if Obama's at 37% and he's that low without the media covering it, because they're not, they're really protecting him still.
No.
How low would he be if they gave it as much coverage as they did George Bush? You know, when George Bush hit 32%, it was every night on the media. That's all you heard. Lowest approval ratings ever, you know.
And he was blamed for anything and everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, there could be some island you've never heard of in the Pacific, and that island was going to be flooded within a year because of George Bush and his global warming cause.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, Louie Gohmert, now there's a couple of good Republicans out there, and these are your true, tried and true, and we're going to talk about the Republican Party fracturing up a little bit today. Louie Gohmert's one of the guys saying, you know what, this is all in the Democrats' court. And let's face it, it is. The Republicans in the Congress have sent bills up. I tire of the term clean resolution. You know, it's dirty if Obamacare is in it. You know, a clean resolution is something that's been passed without the crap that is Obamacare. So don't call it clean if it's got Obamacare in it. You know what I mean? So the Republicans have passed repeated bills in full and given them to the Senate, and the Senate said no, turned them back. Now the Republicans went, I think we touched on this bit last week a little bit, going line item by line item. We're taking care of the veterans. You know, we're going to take care of the families of the veterans. We're going to take care of the National Institute of Health so that children with cancer can get their treatments, right? And they keep getting turned down by the Senate. They either won't even look at them or they say no.
Right.
In the meantime, the Obama administration's closing down NIH, canceling treatments for kids, but giving millions and millions of dollars to public broadcasting for Big Bird, Sesame Street. Not that I don't like Sesame Street. I did my share, you know.
You still watch it?
All right, I do, once in a while.
You DVR it, don't you?
Yeah. Kermit did.
Yeah.
Kermit was the bomb, you know.
And then, of course, the recent scandal about the burial service, you know. And that private foundation stepped up to take care of the bills.
Yeah. Fisher House. And thank you to them for stepping up and taking care of that. Mm-hmm. And again, that's something the Congress went ahead and passed and shipped up to the Senate. And have they passed it yet? I think they're still standing on it.
You know, here's something, too, the big picture. This is a sign of things to come. Simple math dictates that down the road, sooner or later, we will be shutting the government down by force because the markets will react to our huge debt load. And once that gets out of control, where the markets refuse to step forward and refinance our debt on a continuing basis, like we do now, the Ponzi scheme keeps building, that then we're going to be forced to take much more draconian measures of, quote, shutting down the government because there won't be money to fund it going forward. You know, just like with Greece and Portugal and Italy and Spain. Right. This is coming. And when it hits the United States, because we're so much bigger and we're still the biggest economy in the world, you are going to have political and economic devastation cascade throughout the world. There may be no coming back from it.
Right. Well, let's look at how I wanted to get to this last week. This is kind of a week old clip from John Boehner, but I liked it, and I think it's one of his high points for him explaining, because I think that as a rule the Republicans do not market themselves and their decisions and what they're doing. Derek, do you have that track from John Boehner? Let's play that.
Now, when we have a crisis like we're in the middle of this week, the American people expect their leaders to sit down and try to resolve their differences. I was at the White House the other night and listened to the president some 20 times explain to me why he wasn't going to negotiate. Sat there and listened to the majority leader in the United States Senate describe to me that he's not going to talk until we surrender. And then this morning, I get the Wall Street Journal out, and it says, well, we don't care how long this lasts because we're winning. Now, this isn't some damn game. The American people don't want their government shut down, and neither do I. All we're asking for is to sit down and have a discussion and to bring fairness, reopen the government, and bring fairness to the American people under Obamacare. It's as simple as that.
Okay, so, and it is as simple as that. Sit down and negotiate. Okay, the Republicans went hardball and said, no funding for Obamacare. The compromise, all right, well, let's not do Obamacare for 1 year. You've already delayed portions of it. Let's delay the whole thing, which common sense would say yes. Why not?
Well, the exchanges don't work, so there's a reason right there to delay it.
Yeah. The Daily Caller is reporting that thus far, and this are from sources inside HHS, that only 51,000 people have actually managed to negotiate and successfully sign up on an Obama healthcare exchange. 51,000. They're talking like 9 million is what they need. And we're at 51,000.
Big Bird and Kermit couldn't even get signed up. And they were funded.
You know, I thought about trying to sign up today. Not that I need it, but just to try and negotiate.
Just to see what happens?
Yeah, maybe this weekend I'll try just for giggles and see if it's possible to actually get through. But if it's like anything else the government does, I'm sure, or the Obama administration anyway, it's going to be a complete failure.
Are you implying that the government is not all that efficient and competent at times?
I would say yes. Yes, without a doubt.
Hey, here's something that you may disagree with me on. And as we approach the debt limit, the debt ceiling, however you want to describe it, I'm going to make this statement, you may disagree with me, is that under no circumstances, regardless of how this gets worked out, we cannot default on our debt. If we do that, that is going to cause problems that we can't even fathom right now. My background's in economics and finance, and the liquidity crisis that that will engender is going to make Lehman Brothers look like a joke, a walk through the park. Now, if we miss it by a day or two, we can survive. But if it goes for weeks, months, you will see a disaster.
Right. Well, I'm not going to argue with you on that because I don't know, and I'm far from me to say. I thought I had heard, though, that if we do default by law, we still have to pay our debts. The debts will still be paid because the money's still coming in. IRS is still collecting, I think, $56 billion since the shutdown. It's probably more than that at this
point.
Well,
if you default, that means you're not paying your debt.
Well, I thought that hitting the – are you really defaulting when we hit our debt ceiling?
No, you're defaulting if you don't pay off that interest
and
the principal when it's due.
So, again, what I'm asking is if we do not extend the debt ceiling – are we no longer paying our bills? Just because the credit card is now maxed out, does that mean we stop paying?
Well, the Treasury claims that they do not have the money to pay off the interest and principal when it comes due after, what, October 17th? You hear all kinds of dates. Yeah. Sometimes it's pushed forward.
So
assuming that's true, we cannot allow that to happen. Yeah. Something has to be done early this week.
Right. But my assumption, again, goes, as you said, assume. The words and if somebody knows out there, 734-822-1600, I have heard that by law we cannot – not pay on the debt. We will continue to pay, and the money is there to pay the debt. Maybe Social Security is a different story. I don't know. I'm not an expert, and hopefully we can get some answers this week coming to this. But I think there is a difference between not renewing the debt ceiling to go any higher. I mean, what happens if we just said we're not going to pay, we're going to get rid of the APA, and we're not going to do all these things, we're not going to pay these number of people? Do we need to raise the debt ceiling? If we do a 20% across-the-board cut, why do we need to raise the debt ceiling, and how will that lead us to default if we don't raise the credit card? If we don't take out another credit card, how does that keep us from paying our current bills?
Well, see, you're stating that we should do something logical like cut our spending domestically so that we have the money to pay off our creditors, right?
Okay. Right.
And that's really not where this is going.
Okay. So, again, my question lies.
Okay.
If we do not take out another credit card, I'm relating it back to my own.
Well,
if I'm at my credit limit and I say, you know what, I'm going to do the smart thing. I'm going to cancel the cable bill. I'm going to not go out to eat.
Oh, I agree.
I'm going to continue to pay my mortgage on the house because I have to.
Yes.
And by law, the United States must continue to pay the debt.
I don't know about that by law.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe we can
pick
and
choose. I don't know.
But I'm saying that
I'm
saying that we have to pay that debt. And if it means other people here, as needy and deserving as they are, and we don't have the cash to pay them, we still have to pay that debt because the country will collapse.
Right.
I mean, we will see, like I said, a disaster that we can't even imagine if we default on that debt.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to default.
This isn't Russia in the late 1990s defaulting on their debt, which caused havoc throughout the world in the markets. We're talking about we are the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room. And if we default, that is catastrophic.
Yeah. I don't know that raising the debt ceiling is the same as defaulting on our debt because I do not think we will do that. We've got money to pay the debt.
I hope so.
You know,
so
we'll have to dig a little
me.
More on this. I'd love to get deep into the weeds on this and find out for sure. Let's take a break, Derek. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what started this whole shutdown debt ceiling fight, and which is, of course, the fight over Obamacare. We'll see you on the other side.
It's time for America's Vital Signs with Dr. Dave Janda, your weapon of mass instruction.
In 2009, I was invited to be the keynote speaker for a congressional dinner in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol Building. My presentation was on health care reform and specifically my analysis of Obamacare. My conclusions were Obamacare would not increase the access to care, would not reduce costs, and would not lead to more quality-oriented care. In fact, my analysis revealed care would be rationed, costs would significantly increase, and quality of care would drastically decrease. My conclusions were based on the fact that Obamacare is based on the rationing of care and on punishing those not willing to go along with the system. This week it was announced, 4 years after my speech, that millions of Americans will lose their current insurance, cost of health care will go up close to 100%, and those not participating in Obamacare will be fined and punished by the Department of Health and Human Services, which has hired 86 criminal investigators to target consumers, providers, and companies that do not follow Obamacare's rules. Isn't hope and change great? Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, your weapon of mass instruction here exclusively on Wham Talk 1600.
This Freedom and Liberty message was made possible by the best-selling book, The Awakening of a Surgeon, written by Dr. Janda, a book featured on The Oprah Winfrey Show and The Glenn Beck Show. The book instructs you how to take control of your health and how to take back your healthcare freedom. Available online at Amazon.com and NoInjury.com. Get your copy today.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
A living trust? Why do I need that? Isn't my will enough?
You owe it to yourself and your family to find out the right and wrong ways to leave someone an inheritance. Why a will does not avoid court probate, but rather guarantees it. Why a living trust might be right for you. Why your trust and your other documents need to be updated. Why you may not owe federal estate taxes, but you probably owe Michigan taxes if you are a Michigan resident. Get the answers to these questions and many more.
Attend these free seminars in Ann Arbor presented by D.M. Kennedy & Associates, Attorneys at Law. One day, only two different times to choose from. Tuesday, October 15th at 10 a.m. and at 6 p.m., both at Holiday Inn Hotel Ann Arbor on Plymouth Road. Get the truth about living trust. Call today for reservations, 800-334-8496. Space is limited. Call 800-334-8496 today. Again, that's 800-334-8496 for D.M. Kennedy & Associates, Attorneys at Law.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour Radio Show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel Program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Okay, and welcome back. Thanks for catching our drift here at Wham! Talk 1600. And your views and opinions are welcome. 734-822-1600. Brandon Drake in the studio with me. We're discussing the debt and the default and the beauty of today's technology is that as we come up with our own questions, we can come up with our own answers.
Information at our fingertips.
Information at our fingertips via the World Wide Web. And you can listen to this show on the World Wide Web at www.wam.com. And it's much clearer, frankly, than listening to on the AM radio. So get with the program. Start listening to us online because it's really much clearer, and you'll like it.
Yeah, I wanted to summarize real quick. I agree with you. I'm sure there's enough cash because we do have revenues coming in to pay off our debt that comes due. However, there's not enough cash to pay everything. And the priority has to be paying off that debt, whether the right. Chinese are holding it, the Japanese are holding it, Aunt Mary and Uncle Ben are holding it here. That debt has to be serviced. Yeah. Otherwise, you will see a dry up of liquidity that will crush everything. Right.
That's the problem with spending You know, out of a dollar, we're borrowing 40 cents every time we spend a dollar in this country. And that's why you can't do that. It's just common sense that you can't do it.
And if interest rates spike, then we're going to see a whole another world of problems.
Right. Well, that will probably happen. That will, without a doubt,
yeah, they won't happen. Stay zero forever.
But, Derek, do we have that track ready? Okay, this is the CEO of Moody's, credit rating, the big agency Moody's, and he's going to talk to you about, what are you going to
well,
say?
Well, I just want to laugh because we know how well Moody's did during the rating of the, you know, the collateralized debt obligations and all the mortgages that
right.
were junk.
Right.
But anyway, that's another story.
Okay, let's run this, Derek, until I tell you to stop.
Well, we have a AAA stable rating on U.S. Treasury securities. That reflects our thinking that it is extremely unlikely that the government Treasury is not going to continue to pay on those Treasury securities. Hopefully, it is unlikely that we don't go past October 17th and fail to raise the debt ceiling. But even if that does happen, then we think that the U.S. Treasury is still going to pay on its Treasury securities, prioritize those payments.
From Moody's point of view, how...
Okay, so there you go.
Hopefully he's a little more accurate this time around than when they rubber-stamped those subprime mortgages with AAA. You know, the ninja loans,
yeah.
No
well,
income,
the
no assets,
part, yeah,
no
the important
nothing.
Part of what he's saying there, though, is it's Obama's call. Obama controls the Treasury Secretary. If Jack Lew chooses not to pay and instead wants to pay non-essential things or less essential things, that's Obama telling him. So Obama's the only one who can tell the Treasury Secretary, hey, the money that's still coming in, because there's a billions and billions of it every week coming in to pay the debt, we can still pay the debt. So we've cleared the air here.
Right.
We have the money.
We can
pay the debt, whether the debt ceiling is passed or not.
We don't need
to raise the debt ceiling if we cut the non-essential spending. 20% across the board. Everyone's out. Because let's face it, for 9 days now or so, we've had a federal government shutdown. I have not been affected. Have you been affected?
Well, a partial shutdown.
Partial shutdown. 17%. And none of us really are feeling it. Yes, I'm sure some federal employees are feeling it.
Well, no, they're on vacation because they're going to get retroactive pay
as
soon as they get back to work.
Okay.
Well, you know, the national parks. That's all you hear about, the national parks. It's like, how much could that even cost to run?
Nothing.
That can't cost
in the grand
anything.
Scheme of things, nothing. And that's why this is the scam of it all. The Obama administration makes this big play, puts the signs out, spends money to put cops out there, forcing pain on everybody, and then turns to the states because the states are saying, hey, you're hurting our tourism. They say, fine, you can open them back up, but you got to pick up the cost. And the states say, well, there is no cost.
Yeah.
So thank you. We'll take the garbage out and open it back up because that's what it is. Obama playing a game to try and make us feel and try and get it on the news that, ooh, look at the shutdown. It's 17%, folks. That's all there is.
Yeah, I've heard such game playing since you heard shovel-ready jobs.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
it comes down to the simple fact that, you know what? The sequester is done. Nobody's complaining. We survived it. Chicken Little, we survived, baby. And the 17%, every day we go along, this is where the GOP is stupid. Every day you drag it out, it means that much longer, people who work like us and pay our taxes are going, I guess I don't need that 17% non-essential workforce because you know what? I'm not feeling it.
Right.
You know, yes, I'm sure there are instances where some people are, but you know what? Let the private sector pick it up. If Meals on Wheels isn't working because of their federal grant, you know what? They're going to have to turn to the churches to try and do things and get a little more money.
1,000 points of light.
1,000 points of light. This is on us as Americans. You know what? Cleaning up and cutting our own lawns at the national parks. You know what I mean? I'll go cut the city grass if I have to. I think we all can do that. But 17% is minimal in the grand scheme of the United States of American government.
And again, it goes back to what I said earlier in the show. This is a sign of things to come. Let's start planning right now for the eventual debt explosion we're going to have if we don't start planning right now.
Right.
So let's suffer a little bit of pain, even though, you know, we both say, hey, it doesn't affect us at all. Let's start doing some things now before it's too late.
Yes, it's called proactively thinking and getting ahead of the game. We will continue our discussion and get into the impetus for all this when we get back. See you on the other side.
Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. On Capitol Hill, a rare Saturday session yielding some pretty standard results for the continuing stalemate.
I was happy to see the Republicans engaged in talks with the president, House Republicans. That's over with. It's done. They're not talking anymore.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, the Senate in a near party line vote, derailing a Democratic effort to extend the government's ability to borrow money through next year, while Democratic leaders in the Senate are rejecting an offer by Republican Senator Susan Collins to end the budget impasse. In Afghanistan, a partial security deal has been reached, according to the Secretary of State.
Washington wants a security agreement by the end of this month. But the Afghans have been pressing for further commitments, including American guarantees to protect Afghanistan from foreign meddling.
Fox News Radio's Alistair Wanklin. Fox News. We report. You decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of the Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
The Mule Skinner Boot Shop in beautiful downtown Chelsea is Michigan's finest traditional Western wear store. The Mule Skinner features boots from Lucchese, Nocona, Tony Lama, and Justin in both leather and exotic skins. Women's boots, too. And check out the complete selection of Western hats from Resistall and Stetson with in-store custom creasing available from the Mule himself. Plus, a complete line of Western accessories. Also available at the Mule Skinner is a complete selection of all your concealment needs, including holsters, belts, and custom concealment vests designed by the Mule Skinner. Custom model-specific holsters are also available. So for the finest in traditional Western boots and hats, check out the Mule Skinner Boot Shop. Get the perfect fit on your new boots. Get a custom crease on your new hat. Check out all your concealment requirements and custom holsters. Come to Bill Kahn's Mule Skinner Boot Shop, Michigan's finest traditional Western store since 1973. Now featuring a complete selection of concealment requirements in beautiful downtown Chelsea, right next door to the Common Grill. Western hospitality to you, Mule Skinner style.
Greetings, my name is Pastor Yule, host of Just Joshua. Just Joshua will be heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on Wham. Come journey with us down Freedom's Highway as we discuss today's happenings from a Black conservative Judeo-Christian perspective. Every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., come journey down Freedom's Highway on Just Joshua.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Okay, and welcome back. Thank you for catching our drift. Joining me in the studio, Brandon Drake.
We're back, baby.
Back, baby. It's gold, Jerry.
It's gold, Jerry. Yeah. Gold.
Great to be talking about this. Love to get your phone calls. You know, this kind of money that's being spent and talked about, or in this case not being spent, thank goodness. I'm kind of happy about it. At least it's not spending stuff. It's a discussion that's long overdue. And to help us discuss what the GOP is, I think, doing right at this point is Congressman Tim Walberg from the 7th District here in Michigan. Tim, welcome to the show. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. They had a, you know, these airport announcements that go on that you can't hear anything what they're saying, but also can't hear anything else.
Yeah, I know you're. Thanks for calling in, Tim, and giving us an update. Are you guys holding strong up there on this Obamacare and defunding issue?
You know, I was pleased this morning. I woke up to read some reports from the Heritage Foundation, a great organization, but seemed to indicate that our leadership was backing away from taking a strong stance. Subsequent to their trip over to the White House, I believe it was Thursday night, with 18 leaders, committee chairmen, as well as John Boehner and the leadership team. We had heard that allegedly the president had opened himself to further negotiations and had indicated that he would be willing to have his team set with our team through the night and try to work out something. Well, what we found out in actuality is that none of those negotiations did continue. White House never called. And yesterday evening, it pointed out that the White House came out saying that they were backing away from that promise to negotiate, and we're now going to go to the Senate and try to apparently hijack Senate Republicans to get them to compromise on something. The House leadership, John Boehner and others, are still standing firm on the fact that we must negotiate. We must negotiate through reform and spending, that Obamacare is destroying our economy. It's bringing us into a part-time job economy. And we have to have negotiations that speak to fairness and speak to a short-term CR at most, continuing resolution, so that it's the tension is still on to negotiate towards something that will move this country forward and take it off a glide path to, I think, the failure.
Right. Yeah, Tim, you guys are doing a fantastic job, you know, frankly, because, you know, no matter what the polls say, no matter what the media is doing, you guys are on the right track, because as you vote in item by item, which in my opinion, I think you guys should do every time. I mean, when you take one appropriation at a time, discuss it thoroughly, vet it out, and then pass it. And frankly, the Senate, shame on the media for not pushing it. The Senate are the obstructionists here.
It forces a conversation on what's needed and what isn't.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, you know, Boehner sticks with this and you guys stick with it, because you are doing the right thing. You have to stay strong, because I'll tell you this, every day that goes by without the federal government, this partial shutdown starting back up, people are realizing we don't need that, you know, so your case gets stronger every day that's down.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that, Gary, because that's absolutely true. And though the polls may be saying that the Republicans are being blamed for the shutdown, in fact, it's not true. We've passed bill after bill after bill to open up the priorities, agencies, and functions of government for the last 2 weeks after passing four complete continuing resolutions that funded everything except Obamacare. And when people complain about us doing that because they say it's the law of the land, yes, it is. But there, in democracy, nothing is ever settled. You can always change something. We've done that for everything from race relations to abortion. The people still have an opportunity to speak to get through this. So we're doing that same thing with Obamacare. We may not win on it. In fact, the people may think that the Republicans are wrong on this one. But that's not okay politically, but it is okay philosophically, in that we believe we need to save this country from going the socialist model.
Right.
Congressman, I've got a question for you. I want to put you on the spot if I can. Gary and I were discussing earlier the risk of a default on our debt. In your opinion, at this point in time, with what you've observed, the discussions you've been in, what is the percentage chance that we will miss a payment on our debt?
0%.
Good.
Good.
If we miss the payment, it will be because the president himself refuses to use the vast resources that we have. We have more revenue coming. It's not an issue of revenue in this country. It's an issue of spending. We'll have more revenue coming in this year to the coffers from the taxes, including Obamacare, which is the largest tax increase in the history of the United States. We'll have more revenue coming in than ever at any time in the history of the United States. So we will not default unless we choose to.
Do you think President Obama will choose to do that? I mean, as crazy as he can be on certain political issues and the whole ego thing, do you think he would risk bringing this country and possibly the world down by missing a debt payment?
I sure hope not.
I hope not, too. Yeah, that's Tim, you guys have to stay strong. You have our full support at home here, and I believe the American public. I don't believe these polls. I think the polls are as skewed as the media itself. So you guys have to. You are on the right track. Don't believe the polls, whatever you hear out there.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I do believe the polls to a point because, frankly, except for a few news sources like yours, the other side of the story isn't being told. It is clearly the story being told that the Republicans are obstructionists, when in fact we're the only ones that are doing the work. The Senate isn't passing bills. They aren't sending us bills to work with. They aren't responding to our bills. They aren't negotiating with us. In fact, they've gone home and we've stayed on the weekend to work. And even as today, passing further legislation to deal with issues that they're complaining about aren't being funded. And yet as we pass them in a bipartisan fashion in the House, I refuse to take it up. And so that's the message that gets out. But, you know, something has changed this week. The calls that are coming in now are from people saying, I just got 150% increase in my health insurance premium. Why is that, Congressman? Well, it gives us a chance to explain why. It's Obamacare. And the more this goes on, the more people will be changing from their frustration about the alleged shutdown by Republicans, when in fact it's alleged, it's a true trying to start up by Republicans the budget and the funding, and the Democrats holding it back, and they're going to shift to, why in the world is my health care costing me something? Because Barack Obama told me that I wouldn't have to pay. It would be free money. It's Obamacare. And now they're finding out that if you like your insurance, no, you can't necessarily keep it.
Right. Yeah, be careful what you wish for, because you've got it. It's American
yeah.
public. That's exactly right. Well, Congressman, thank you so much for calling in. I know that you've got to catch an airplane, and I hope you have a safe trip home. And anything we can do at The Current or at The Daily Drift or The Drift Radio, we will post whatever you and your colleagues want to post and try and get it out so that your side of the story is told and vetted.
I appreciate that. Just put out the truth. We don't ask for any slant, and I know that you're not offering a slant. But as I ask other media sources, just tell the truth. Just tell what's happening. Just tell what's going on. And I think the American people, by and large, are smart enough to make up their minds and smart enough to understand that this administration and what they're telling us isn't actually what's taking place. And it's a changeover in the whole wonderful America system that believes in limited government, responsibility and accountability to people, and opportunity to succeed as well as to fail, but then to get up and go on again, and to make America, because of its people, the greatest country on the face of this earth. We can still do that, and let's keep pushing forward.
Right. Hey, Congressman, let me get one other item. With all the smoke and mirrors of what's happening here, is there anything with immigration going on behind the scenes? Is anybody pushing that? You get these rumors that something's coming through, and I don't want to believe it, but I've seen it enough that it's possible. They're not pushing amnesty or anything behind the doors here while we're concentrating on the debt, are they?
No, they aren't, and it won't happen behind the doors. It just won't. The House, led by the Republican leadership majority, has made it very clear. And we're going to have light of day. We're going to have regular order in the House. Those things will come up, and those will be debated. But also, it's been made very clear as recently as a week and a half ago from the Speaker of the House that he will not allow the Senate amnesty immigration proposal to be voted on the floor of the House. They did what they did, and we are going to do it a different way, so it also is not going to go to conference committee. And the Senate will not jam something through like they think they can without even giving their own membership the opportunity to have a true debate and a true vote on that issue. So as it sits right now, unless something strange comes off the tracks, and we'll keep looking for that as well, but as it sits right now, no, it will not be jammed through under the cover of darkness like Nancy Pelosi used to do it.
Congressman Walberg, would you agree that even though this is a almost a crisis-type mode that we're in right now because we're running out of time and the government's partially shut down, that the positive is that it forces a conversation on some very complex, well, not even necessarily complex issues, but some issues that need to be discussed and get the American people to wake up, that this debt is out of control, it keeps compounding, it keeps rolling forward, and just rolling along and keeping our heads buried in the sand, and the status quo is no longer acceptable. This conversation has to be held.
It has to be held, and it's good it's being held. And I think also you bring up a good point. This isn't anything new. Even under Jimmy Carter, who had the Watergate Congress, and that was a total Democrat majority in the House and Senate, following Watergate, following his election, even though he had that, he had 57 days of shutdown of government. 57 days in his 4 years in office. Every president, including Reagan and Clinton, all had shutdowns. This isn't anything abnormal. And as the media is trying to make it appear like it's a broken Congress, no, it isn't. We are fighting and debating over crucial issues to this great, great democracy. The only thing that is different back then, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have cable news, they didn't have shows like I'm on right now. So people are more informed, maybe inaccurately in some cases informed, but nonetheless informed. And so that's what's causing all the foment to take place now. Let's use it for a positive. I don't think we're going to have 57 days of shutdown.
I just hope we start making decisions now to whittle down some of the spending so the debt doesn't grow at the rate it is before the markets decide for us down the road and then we're in a full-blown catastrophe meltdown.
Well, that's why we're battling now, and that's why the Republicans in the House have remained unified and strong. Though we're taking it on the chin, and some of us in swing districts, like my own, it will be ugly. And we will have a bunch of lies given by our opponents about what we supposedly intended to do. But those of us who love this country and its system and its constitution and its people, I guess are going to just have to take it on the chin, buck up, fight hard, and go for broke to restore this great country to the greatness that it ought to be.
Great. Tim, thank you so much. We elected you in 2010 to do exactly this, and I'm so glad you're sticking with it. So I appreciate the time, and again, you have a safe trip on the way home.
And go Tigers.
Thanks, Tim.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so Congressman Tim Walberg.
Straightforward answers. Great conversation. I loved it.
Yeah. Pushing, stay the course because they're doing what we got. We've got Ann calling in from Livonia. Ann, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to encourage the congressman that the people are so behind the Republicans standing fast on fighting Obamacare. And I want to encourage my two poll information that I found this morning, I think on Fox or last night. It was about college students. And they asked them, Republicans, Democrats, or Obama, who do you blame for the shutdown? Overwhelming, it was the Democrats and the president that these college students were blaming. One of them, it was a small poll, but I think it was significant in the fact that it was college students. One of them, when he heard that the president wasn't negotiating, he turned his line under, he turned it and moved it over to Obama from the Republicans, which I thought was great. When the longer it goes on, the more people hear the facts, the more the House of Rep has the people behind them.
Hey, Ann, was this college poll taken at Hillsdale?
No, it would have been much different. You wouldn't have had to worry. They would have known, I think. Actually, they didn't mention which college, and I hope they do a lot more. I'd love to see them. But the second one was that odd poll that came out yesterday that seemed to show that the Republicans were getting the majority of the blame. So that was odd. It was going against the other polls. And last night there was more information about who answered that poll and the self-proclaimed party. It was like 43% Democrats, 32% Republicans. Of course the poll's going to be skewed.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's not.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but I was a little concerned about that immigration answer by Representative Walberg. I felt, well, that's too much squiggle worm there, I think. You know, why are we talking about immigration? It's not in the top. It's not in the top 10 concerns of the American people. We want the border secured. We want the the present laws in force. We don't need more laws. We don't need conference, which he said there wasn't going to be. But I am concerned that that people might start giving immigration as a way to go into these negotiations. And I wasn't particularly, you know, relieved by that answer that we're going to do it our own way and
right.
getting our own. Were you?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a priority right now. I have faith that the Congress itself will do a better job at it than the Senate, and I don't think anything the Senate passes is going to get through the House, so I'm not too worried. Great points, though, Ann. I appreciate the call, and we'll talk a little immigration when the smoke clears here, because that is going to be a top priority, I think.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Ferg.
Thanks, Ann.
Thanks,
Ann. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
You know, one of the things that drives me nuts about the immigration protests, when you see, you know, these different Hispanics out there with their foreign flags, like from Mexico or Ecuador or whatever, it's like, there they are.
Right.
They're the illegals right there. Go arrest them.
Yeah.
Go round them up or check their, you know, you got papers? Let's see your papers, you
yeah.
know. And we don't.
Show me your papers.
Yeah, show me your papers. And we don't do that. There they are presenting themselves by the thousands at times. And we just kick back and like, well, there they are on TV. I wonder what's going to happen. Well, nothing happens.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what forced all this, which is, of course, Obamacare. Now, my newest best choice for the next president, 2016, is Dr. Ben Carson. You know, people say, you know, Gary, you're just a racist. You don't like Barack Obama because he's black. That's totally untrue. My next three people that I choose
it's just like
are Alan West, Condoleezza Rice, and Dr. Ben Carson.
It's just like
and they all happen to be African American.
You don't like Bobby Ferguson because he's black. You know, the genocide on blacks, like he said. Anyway, that's
really,
another.
We had to go to Detroit. Yeah. Well, I want to listen. This is what Dr. Ben Carson had to say. This is track two, Derek. You got it ready to go? Let's listen to what Dr. Ben has to say.
You know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And it is, in a way, it is slavery, in a way, because it is making all of us subservient to the government. And it was never about health care, it was about control. And that's why when this administration took office, it didn't matter that the country was going off the cliff economically. All forces were directed toward getting this legislation passed. And why did they want to pass it so badly? Well, as I said the other night on television, Vladimir Lenin, one of the fathers of socialism and communism, said that socialized medicine is the keystone to the establishment of a socialist state.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's perfect.
I mean, once you have the control over people's health care, that's a pretty big stick to wield, right?
And the control being part of it is that if you don't pay for this Obamacare, then you're charged with a fine. You know,
right.
Just for existing in this country, you're going to be hit with a fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that is...
It is. This whole thing is about control. It's not about better. Because they could have really made some changes that would have helped the healthcare system. They could have done it one at a time, little tiny pieces at a time that would have made it better. But no, 10,000 pages of discipline to enforce upon the people.
Once again, you're trying to be logical.
Yeah. You know, exactly. Yeah. Well, here's a former director of Office of Management and Budget, David Stockman. You got that track ready, Derek? Talking also about Obamacare and why it's so bad.
Because it is the worst law ever passed in the last four decades by the federal government. It is a massive entitlement to end all entitlements. It is going to cause a fiscal hemorrhage that we can talk about and why that is not even yet anticipated. It will tie up 1/6 of GDP in the most monstrous, massive, bureaucratic snarl that you can imagine. And so therefore, this thing needs to be stopped before it becomes operational. No entitlement has ever been shut down once it starts. No entitlement has ever been even significantly reformed once millions of people began to participate in it and depend on it. So this may sound desperate, but it's necessary. Remember, it was driven through in 2010 by a narrow partisan majority, Democrats only. That is not a way to enact an entitlement.
Well, Douglas.
Okay.
Wow, that was articulate.
Yeah, I mean, well, former director of the Office of Management and Budget. I mean, these are the guys who look at the budgets and say, yeah, that's a bad one, or yeah, that's a good one. This will work. It's not going to work. I mean, it's plain as day. And I think, you know, what you're seeing here is that scare. I think that Democrats, including Barack Obama and Harry Reid, are scared to death of this shutdown continuing because, as we just said earlier, people will realize here's another 17% of the government we don't need. So the longer it goes on, the more the American people say, wow, why have we been paying for that 17% all this time and we didn't need it?
And he brought up the fact that you'll have this huge bureaucracy and the ensnarlment of a big part of our GDP. You know, as an example, I mean, when has a federal government bureaucracy ever really worked out as it was intended to? There's always the unintended consequences and intended consequences. And an example that recently came up, we've known about it all along, is Social Security disability. About 50% of that is outright fraud, and I think it's like $170 billion a year that goes out, so at least half of that is fraudulent.
Right.
You know, so I'm not trying to change the subject. I'm using that as an example, and you're going to have a much bigger program with Obamacare that will be a bigger fiasco.
Right. Well, let's. There's one other thing I wanted to hit. It was an interesting story about TSA warnings. Now, we've all been to the airport, and you hear the recorded message from the TSA about your bags, checking your bags and your luggage. Derek, do we have the last, not the site, the track number 5 there on the TSA? Recently, those recordings have changed a little bit, and I want you to hear how they've changed.
Pay particular attention to your luggage and personal belongings. Unattended luggage will and personal belongings may be treated as a danger to the facility. Do not be persuaded by strangers or individuals you do not know well to take articles aboard your flight. You are also reminded that any inappropriate remarks or jokes concerning security may result in your arrest. We appreciate your cooperation while these measures are in effect.
There it is.
Excuse me?
It sounds like a futuristic Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, really? Yeah, I can't wait till I go to the airport next time and see if they're doing that at Metro. This was down in Texas. You'd have to go to thedailydrift.com, and you can check it out there. But really? Seriously? And I know what they're saying. The point is,
don't
be making jokes about
saying.
Bombs because it can cause a panic.
I don't disagree with
but
that.
But, man, it sure doesn't sound kosher.
Puts a chill right up your spine, doesn't it?
It did. Yeah. When I listened to it, and you could hear the girl that was with the guy recording going, what? What did they just say? That's just, I had to play that one because it was just, it boggled my mind.
You know, maybe that wasn't even real. Maybe that was on the set of Stallone and Schwarzenegger's latest movie.
No, it's real. This one's real. Yeah. So, I don't know that it's done everywhere. Maybe it's just that particular airport. And again, I can understand. There is a, don't be joking about bombs at the airport or on the airplane because, that's what happens.
Hey, before we go, I've got the solution to servicing our debt, all almost $17 trillion of it. You know what it is?
What?
I just came up with it. We'll hold a bake sale. How can we go wrong?
Yeah, well, depends on the type of brownies you're cooking, right? there you go. All right, till next week, go to thedailydrift.com, stay current, and we'll see you next week.
Take care.